So, what's trending? Bridging your Catholic faith with your everyday life. You're listening to Trending with Timory on Relevant Radio.
You know, a couple days ago, my husband woke up in the middle of the night and looked at me, made a weird face, and then went back to bed. The next morning, he said, "I had a dream that you were choking me. You were choking me." I said, "Really?" And he said, "Yeah." And then I woke up and you were choking me. Apparently, I was like trying to get close and like snuggle and had my arm like over the top of his neck, pulling him in nice and tight. And he had a dream that he couldn't breathe. And sure enough, he was being choked. So I reminded him, well, love hurts. Just saying, love hurts. Sometimes you got to wrestle in your sleep. Welcome to our Marriage Hour weekly here on Trending. And boy, there's a lot to talk about today. Some breaking news out of California. Don't go away. You need to hear this because as California goes, thus goes the rest of the nation. And this is a pretty big one that we need to keep our eyes on. And you need to let your daughters and young women know about this. It's very important. Some fascinating news came out this week having to do with dating apps. And I find this fascinating. And I'm really excited, by the way. We're going to do some speed dating in a few minutes here with a date coach. I've never been speed dating. I'm married, but I mean, we're going to do it publicly here. We're going to learn about how to speed date, how to ask those questions that can vet people out in the dating process. But before we go there, the Hinge, it's a dating app. If you're not familiar with it, it's up there with some of the others such as Tinder and Bumble. And Hinge has had astronomical growth over the last year, especially during COVID. In fact, it's been really interesting to see what's been happening with this app. It's kind of a great way to do a 5-10 minute check-in with someone to figure out whether or not they're worth meeting up with. It's actually opposed to a lot of the hookup culture that you see in Tinder and some of the other dating apps. And what they've seen is that in the midst of their major growth, far surpassing all of the other dating apps, they've done some market research and something's come up. And that is that a lot of people are anticipating getting into long-term relationships. Now, Christina Pineda from Matchmakers in the City, a real-life matchmaker, was talking a couple weeks ago with us about coupling season. Apparently, this is a thing, or cuffing season, as she referred to it, in around the holiday, Christmas time, where people actually really make a serious attempt to have someone to date because it's lonely around the holidays. And so it's called cuffing because you kind of get together during the holiday season, go to the holiday parties, don't feel so lousy about yourself when you feel like everyone else has a date, has a spouse, has a kid. I get it. It's a really difficult place to be in. But here's the reality. There is some more cuffing season going on. People are saying it is going to be a hot summer for cuffing and coupling. I just can't handle these words here at a certain point. So here's the reality of it. COVID is doing something for a lot of people. They are struggling with loneliness, and it makes us ask the question having to do with dating and marriage. People are saying that they want to be in long-term relationships. They want to meet someone. But what I find fascinating is that they're not quite hitting the mark in terms of what they want or what's best for them. You see, people want someone to be a companion to them so that they aren't alone. Is that what dating is? Just someone to hang out with and spend time with? We have to help as people are struggling with the sense of loneliness in our culture today, especially surrounding COVID and isolation, help people understand that dating has a purpose, and it's to discern marriage and family with a particular person. And marriage has a purpose too. It's oriented toward the procreation and education of children. It's oriented toward the growth and development of the spouses. It's ultimately a vocation to holiness. And so this, as Catholics, we have the opportunity, as people are talking about the coupling and cuffing season that will occur this summer, and as people continue to engage in these online dating platforms and even speed dating, as we'll talk about in just a couple minutes here, this is our opportunity to scratch the surface and then go much deeper on the issue of dating. What is the purpose of dating? And so as you hear about people dating, using various apps, we're in this deep state of longing to be in a relationship, ask why. And don't just settle for their answer, go deeper. Go into the philosophy of dating, what it means to date, what its purpose is, why they're lonely, what they're ultimately looking for. This is a very unique opportunity. People are saying things such as, they haven't hugged someone in months. At this point, for some people, a year. People are starved for human interaction and connection. Let's help people understand it's not just a companion, someone to be side by side with that they're looking for. They're looking for a purpose in life. They're looking for a way to give themselves sacrificially. They're not just looking for someone to hug them or sit next to them or build a puzzle with. They're looking for someone to join them in the vocation of holiness that touches on the greatest longing of the human heart. A longing to ultimately be with God and to bring other people to Christ as well. You're listening to Trending with Timory. There's major news coming out of California we will have to keep our eye on. Don't go away. I'll share it with you. And it's important, especially, that young women know about this. Teenagers, young women. This is a pretty big deal. And I would say it's another casualty because of COVID. It's another something that's happening because of this isolation that so many people are experiencing in our culture right now. We're going to come back in just a little bit here, and we're going to discuss later the issue of how so many people are struggling over the contraception issue, and what do I say? You know, am I supposed to be using contraception? Is it for me? Is it not for me? How do I tell someone who doesn't hold to a Catholic worldview that they should use contraception? We'll be right back here in a little bit on Trending with Timory to do some speed dating.
Bridging your Catholic faith with your everyday life. You're listening to Trending with Timory on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Monica Braun from Soul to Souls with me. She's the author from Toxic to Soulmate Love, and she is a date coach. I don't know if you've ever done this before, but we are going to do some speed dating. She works with her clients to weed out toxic people that sometimes, you know, you start dating and then you realize this person's really not that good for me. They're actually a toxic person to be around. They're pulling me down. But you start dating them, you enter into a relationship before you've weeded the person out. So these speed date questions and what she does as a date coach is really meant to weed out those people before wasting your time and wasting precious moments, and I would say memories, that can leave us with a lot of wounds if we allow this to continue to go on. So welcome to the show, Monica.
Thank you so much, Timory. I'm so honored to be on your show.
Let's talk about some of these speed date questions. I know you've been hosting virtual speed dating events. What are some of those top questions that you ask that really help to very quickly identify whether or not this is a person to take more time getting to know and vet further?
Yeah, so some of the questions that I help craft kind of dig deeper into the other person, like you were talking about earlier in the show. So really looking at the qualities of how they are internally. And some of these qualities are like empathy, how vulnerable they are, what inspires them, what motivates them. And some of those questions are, describe your family relationships. That one really focuses on empathy. Do you have a pet? Do you want one? Also empathy, you know, being very loving to an animal. How would your best friend describe you? That demonstrates, you know, authenticity and being vulnerable, which is what you really are looking for in a relationship. What makes you feel fulfilled? That really demonstrates what inspires them. And then what is a dream you would like to achieve? And that really shows what's intentionally motivating the other person as well. So those are just a few that kind of dig deeper into the internal side of the person.
You know, I can just imagine, I was reading through some of your questions, and I could just imagine being on a speed date and asking someone, you know, kind of what your greatest dream is that you want to achieve, and hearing what they say. And I could so quickly, depending on what they say, see my eyes glaze over and me be running from the door and potentially be really disgusted with the person I'm talking to. Or you could go, that's interesting. Let me hear a little bit more. And there's room for refinement potentially.
Absolutely. So that's what speed dating is all about, is finding out very quickly in that personal, you know, dating setting, whether or not they are a good fit, because some of those dating apps take very long to assess. So that's what's so great about those, you know, that personal experience is, you know, assessing the chemistry and the personal connection.
Okay, so if you're speed dating, whether virtual or in person, how long does someone usually have to answer a question?
So it really depends on the number of people that I have, but I give each round, like each couple, between usually 5 to 7 minutes to answer, give or take.
For one question, really?
Yeah, well, that's so they can ask each other.
Okay, I was going to say, that doesn't sound very speedy. I'm like, come on, efficiency, yeah. Let's do this. 30 seconds, please have your talking points, yeah. Your elevator pitch. You should be ready. You know, shouldn't we come into this like, okay, I'm a real person here, ready to date. You should be, you know, basically not just, you know, I think this is interesting, and I'd love to get your thoughts here. When you're speed dating, you're not just getting to know each other, but you're also, you know, proposing yourself to the other person, not an actual proposal, but you know, you're putting yourself out there, and vice versa. It's like an advertisement. You're supposed to be giving your best, so you should have your talking points, in a sense of yourself already kind of well put together in your mind. But so often, Monica, I find people just start rambling on and on about how they've done this and they've done that, and you know, you also learn whether or not you could handle this type of way a person talks as well.
Oh, absolutely. And especially as single Catholics, you know, intentional dating, you know, we're looking for, you know, that sacrament of marriage and to build a family, and what you need to really build a family in a healthy and holy relationship. So you can build, you know, that domestic family life. So what kind of traits do they have? How are you going to grow in holiness with that person? That's why it's really important to really look at, you know, the underlying layers of that person, to really, you know, make sure you're choosing correctly so you can have that healthy and happy marriage, hopefully one day.
Okay, so share with us some more of these speed dating questions. And do you ask the same questions, whether it's a COVID speed date online or in person?
So, yeah, usually it's the same questions, and I do kind of play around with it sometimes in the main room. I like to call it during Zoom. I'll also ask the questions as icebreakers while I'm setting up the breakout rooms. And so some of them are a little bit more fun to kind of take the edge off, like what activities are on your bucket list, books, movies, and TV shows. You know, what's a favorite saint or devotion? That's usually a really good one. Or asking like a specific tradition that they enjoy with their family. So some of them are a little bit more laid back. It just kind of depends on the mood and the group.
Apart from evaluating the other person's response during a speed date, how do you help people in your date coaching, and especially in the speed dating coaching world, to vet out those people with warning signs that this could be a toxic person to enter into a relationship with?
Yeah. So for those questions, I always tell my clients, how do you feel when you're with that person? Do you feel fear, anxiety, stress, those are usually the telltale signs of an unhealthy relationship, because the right person should make you feel joy. You should feel authentically yourself. You should feel free to kind of say what you'd like, and anything that kind of steers you away from your true self is going to probably be going in an unhealthy direction.
Okay, so if you have sweaty palms, is that a bad sign?
I don't necessarily think so. I think it's, you know, if you like the person, you know, you want to feel a little bit nervous, but it's when those nerves turn into like fear or stress or anxiety, that really starts to kind of, you know, become warning signs.
Excellent. So what tips do you have for those people who are wanting to start back in the dating game? They're not really sure how to make it. You know, we're seeing these trends right now of people wanting to enter into relationships and long-term relationships. But the problem is that they're not looking for marriage per se. It's just a relationship. So what would you advise people who come to you with this type of mindset?
Yeah, so what I would say is, you know, the specific signs that you are, you know, wanting, you know, from the other person, definitely, you know, ask those questions, craft those questions about whether or not they are the right person for you and whether or not they are serious about finding love. And just completely be yourself, you know, be open, have an open heart, have an open mind, and kind of live with that uncertainty, because it can be hard the first couple of dates. So really just, you know, try to be calm and try to, you know, have faith and trust in God's plan.
Okay, so if you enter into the virtual Zoom world of a speed date with your program, what happens? If you find someone who might be interesting, where do you go from there?
Yeah, so what I usually tell my clients is that, you know, you don't have to know within the first couple of minutes whether or not you're going to marry the person. And I think a lot of single people put a lot of pressure and stress on themselves. So even if you just want to have another conversation with them, even if you thought it was just a nice conversation, definitely exchange information, because you never know where it's going to lead you. I always say that God, you know, speaks to our hearts and our feelings. So if you feel called to this person, definitely exchange information, you know, and you can gain so many skills like confidence and conversational skills by actually experiencing, you know, those dates. So there's definitely nothing to lose.
And what would you advise next steps are from there? You know, you've found that you're interested in someone. Do you set up a formal date? What do you do?
Yeah, so especially for the men, I always tell the men to be leaders. So if you are interested in a woman, definitely show that you're interested, you know, especially because everything is virtual nowadays. Set up that virtual Zoom date if you know you like her. Get in front of that person and really, you know, show them that you like them and really, you know, take strides for that relationship. And if you are the female, definitely lean into that feminine side. And we talk about this with my clients. So, you know, not trying to lead, kind of be more of the receiver in the relationship, be calm, just kind of be a little bit more flexible and laid back and let the man lead. And when two people do that, it's like a dance, and that really builds a beautiful relationship.
That is excellent. I love these examples for speed dating. It's a whole new world. Did you meet your husband, Monica, via speed dating?
I did not. I actually met my husband on Catholic Match. Yeah, so I do a lot of work with my clients on building, you know, great profiles on Catholic Match and, you know, really putting your best foot forward, because I believe everyone is worthy of that unconditional love. And, you know, if you feel called to marriage, chances are, you know, that is God's plan. You just have to follow in that faith.
Fabulous. Thank you so much for joining us. So that's Monica Braun, Soul to Soul. She's a date coach. You can check her out at monicamariebraun.com. We'll post the links in the show notes today. Head over to relevantradio.com/trending to connect. Now, by the way, behind the scenes working with us here on Trending is Jake Moore filling in as one of our producers. And he actually met his wife via speed dating. Jake, how did you even decide to start speed dating?
Oh, I can just completely 100% attribute everything to God's providence with this. I was invited to go to a speed dating event because of my cousin who was going. And my cousin Olivia just said to me, hey, if you'd want to come with me, you can. And I said, okay, I'm absolutely going to go with no expectations whatsoever, just for the fun of it. And honestly, Timmy, I think that was what really helped me, just going in for the fun of it, just saying, all right, I'm just going to have a good time. I'm just going to meet maybe a friend or two. So I show up, and this was at St. Alphonsus in Chicago. They had a young adult speed dating event. And I show up. I'm just, like, terrified to walk in. I'm so nervous. And I'm
what,
like,
did you wear, Jake? What did you wear?
Oh, well, I mean, I'm Jake from State Farm, so I probably had khakis on, you know. But but I'm just like, what am I getting myself into here? There's just, like, 40 other women, and it was just a very intimidating thing. So
were there more men than women?
No, there were actually, they were like begging for guys to come to the event. So the women signed up a lot quicker than the men. So.
Oh, no.
Yes.
So you're doing like twosomes, threesomes here as you speed dating?
Yeah, pretty much. And actually, when I showed up, I texted my cousin. She's like, oh, I'm running like 20 minutes behind. I'm like, oh, great. So like, I was like just going in completely alone and everything. I said a couple of Hail Marys and I said, God, you got to help me through this here. But anyway, you know, it was just that feeling that like, okay, you know, I'm nervous, but so what? Like just going to have a good time. And then so what happened was about halfway through the event, I'm looking down at my list of women that I'm supposed to meet. We had 3 minutes, you know, for each person. And occasionally they would schedule in a break. So, like, you guys would be on, like, a 3-minute break and you weren't supposed to meet with anyone. So I thought that I was on a 3-minute break. So I'm just, like, kind of, you know, taking off the mask, no pun intended there, and just sort of, you know, chatting it up and just hanging out. And then all of a sudden, 10 minutes later, I look down and I realize, wait a minute, I wasn't supposed to be on a 3-minute break there. I was supposed to be meeting with this girl, Kathy. And all of a sudden, the panic just settled in. I'm like, oh, no. Like, whoever this Kathy is, she probably literally saw me just blowing it off. And here I was. I was just like, how could I do this to her? Because they warned the guys ahead of time saying, hey, like, don't skip anyone. Like, the girls are going to notice. They're going to be offended.
And no, like, pressure.
Oh, no. And I just felt like the worst guy in the world. Like, here I was thinking that she saw me and everything.
The one girl that doesn't get asked to dance.
Yeah. Oh, I just felt terrible. So, again, Holy Spirit moment. I turn around. I'm like, okay, I need to find this Kathy just to at least apologize. And, again, the providence, she happened to be on a break that very time. So I walk up to her and I'm like, hey, are you Kathy? And she probably thought this was, like, just a stalker dude. And she's like, yeah. And I'm like, well, I'm so sorry I skipped you. And so I introduced myself. We started talking. But once the word got out that I was from Green Bay, Wisconsin, of course, she was in Chicago, I could totally I could totally see her write me off. Like, I totally could tell from just the little eye roll. She looked down on the piece of paper. I'm like, all right, that's it. Like, she was the cutest girl there. But I'm like, eh, oh, wow. You know, so we just continued to talk about Green Bay for the remaining minutes.
Oh, like you thought that was going to help at that point.
Well, you know, like, you know, there's no reason to not care at this point. So, and then she was like, oh, how far away is Green Bay, by the way? She's like, is that an hour? I'm like, no, it's actually 3 hours from Chicago. So she's like, oh, okay. And so we're just going on. And I'm like, okay, I'm sorry again for skipping you. Nice to meet you. And I just thought nothing of it until the very end of the speed dating event. Because I was with my cousin Olivia, and she was surrounded by like 8-9 guys at that point. And I'm like, okay, can we just go now? Like, I just really want to leave. I'm tired. And
so she did well, too.
She
that
did.
Night, apparently.
She was the socialite and, you know, the extroverted one. I'm like, all right, let's just go here. Minutes before I was about to leave the speed dating event, I see Kathy again way off into the background, far into the room, and I see her talking to a bunch of people. I'm like, man, yeah, that Kathy, she's really popular. Like, she's really something. And so she just stuck in my mind. And then 2 days later, what we could do then is contact, or basically we would just like write down the names of the girls that we were interested in, and then they would get the email address. So the last minute, I'm like, you know what? Kathy didn't seem very interested in me, but why not? I was just going to put her name down as interest. And then so she got my email address. I did not get hers, but that was kind of to be assumed. But then about 2 days later, I opened up my email and I got an email from her. And I'm like, wow, like I just did not really expect that to happen. It really felt like kind of a Twilight Zone episode. It was just like, wow, for real. So, you know, we started talking and I emailed her and said, yeah, I'd love to talk sometime on the phone. And the first phone conversation we had was just, it really flowed well. We probably talked for like 2.5 hours on the phone and went on a date a week later. And that was, I think, when God was making it really clear. He's like, okay, Jake, I helped you through that debacle at the speed dating event. You know, please just try to, you know, give this the best shot you can. So I told, I was like, okay, I need to be intentional with this since it is going to be a long distance relationship. I'm in Green Bay. She's in Chicago. So I said, look, we're far away, but I really want to make this work. I like you a lot. And that really set things off onto a good path. And a year later, we were married. Or
wow,
engaged,
one year later.
Engaged. So,
you
yeah.
go, man.
Yeah, so so for anyone who's hearing this about speed dating, thinking, oh, like nothing would ever happen with that. Like, you know, I beg to differ. God can work through speed dating. So it's an incredible thing.
Jake, that's an incredible story, and I think mm-hmm. it brings so much hope for people who want to meet someone. They don't know how to meet someone, and boom, how simple. Yep. Your cousin invited you to go to a speed dating event, mm-hmm. and it kind of reminds me, I'm not saying that people should go an online date. That's on you to decide if that's what you're going to do, but I always feel like we need to ease up this idea of, quote, online dating or dating with an app, and really more so think of more touches of contact for meeting people. Because I feel like so many people say, well, I don't know anyone. So I say, well, find ways to be introduced to people. And if that's possibly speed dating or online dating, so be it. Think of it as an introduction and go like you had that attitude to just mm-hmm. go and have fun.
Absolutely. And that was the same thing for Kathy, too. She was just going because her sister invited her. Her sister was the one who really wanted to go. And Kathy had the same attitude. She's like, yeah, I'll just go. Not really expecting to meet anyone. I don't even really want to date anyone. But it was just that little bit of openness of heart that God used for both of us to really kindle a wonderful marriage in the future. So.
Okay, so two questions here. Do you remember the questions that you were supposed to ask one another, and were they good?
Oh, I honestly can't even tell you. I think they basically just said to wing it. Like, they gave you, like, a couple of, like, icebreaker questions.
It's
like,
okay. Catholic small group questions always suck anyways, to be honest.
Totally. Totally. But yeah, what I do remember is like they had a list of like icebreaker points, like, you know, like a factoid about yourself. So, you know, Kathy put down, oh, I'm a twin. And I said, oh, I like classic movies and I have four brothers. So just little things like that, that you could kind of expound upon a little bit.
Good answer. About. You didn't say, oh, I like twins.
Yeah, that would be something different there. But that is really funny. So. Yeah, but we kept it simple. You know, from what I remember, a lot of it was a blur, obviously, going through the entire rotation of everything. But really simple questions, just talking about family, talking about hometown, favorite TV shows, movies. It's okay to keep it simple, in my opinion.
That's Jake Moore, one of our producers here at Relevant Radio, working behind the scenes, helping to make the shows here at Relevant Radio happen. And if you're looking for someone to meet, you want to meet someone, you want to get married, you're having a hard time finding someone, I want to pray with you. Give me a call. The number is 1-888-914-9149. I'm going to pray with you and for all those who are listening right now who are searching for a spouse. So if you are our first caller, we'll add you to the list and pray for you now. But otherwise, I'd love to hear from you. Again, the number is 1-888-914-9149. Breaking news out of California. So today, over the last 24 hours, the Senate Health Committee passed Senate Bill 519. And this is a lot to even ponder, that something like this would pass the state legislature. But this is my home state, California. And this is something that parents, this is something that young women need to be aware of. And part of the reason why I bring this up is because I believe it's Sexual Assault Awareness Month. And So many people are entering into marriages and relationships with wounds and baggage that they have from their past. Because unfortunately, we live in a culture that doesn't take sexual assault seriously enough. That doesn't believe people when they say that they've been assaulted or when they say they're in a risky situation. And so a lot of people stay silent. A lot of people carry those wounds without ever receiving therapy and various help that they need. And maybe that's you. Maybe you have been silent for years. Maybe you have carried the pain of having been abused. If that has happened to you, I am so sorry. And I truly do pray that you continue to turn to God's mercy and his providence and helping to heal your situation. Recognize that wounds can be carried from those past situations into future relationships. But also remembering that we have Catholic therapists who are incredible at helping people to move forward and grow in their relationship. So check out CatholicTherapist.com. But this is why I'm bringing it up right now during our marriage hour too, because these things impact relationships. They make people scared of relationships, scared of marriage. And this bill that very well may be signed by the governor, may receive the full approval by the House and the Senate in California and become law, is going to continue to contribute to a very broken sexual identity that men and women carry into their marriages. And this is why I want us to acknowledge the fact that we have to work on helping people to heal from their past wounds so that they can have healthy marriages. And so whether it's abortion, whether it's contraception, whether it's sexual abuse in the past, these are all topics that we're discussing today during our marriage hour, because these things are baggage that we carry into future relationships. So whether this is something you're struggling with or it's something that a friend, a family member is struggling with, these are things that we can help people understand in simple ways why they shouldn't be a part of our regular lives and how to find healing. So I want to share with you, before we talk about simple ways to talk about contraception with friends and to discuss a little bit about what's happening with abortion in the United States here, let's talk about this bill in California. So it's Senate Bill 519. And what's happened is in California, ketamine is actually a drug that is known as the date rape drug. Now, ketamine is also used in cases to help alleviate pain, to induce to not be conscious, to lose a sense of consciousness. And it's also being used to treat depression. But we know it well known for being the date rape drug. And the Senate in California, the Senate Health Committee of all committees, just passed a law that would make it so that you can legally have ketamine on your body, to be in possession of the date rape drug. Now, we will see how far this does or does not go, but the fact that a health committee just gave approval for an off-label treatment for a drug is unbelievable, especially when it is known as a date rape drug. I'm sorry, are we tone deaf? Are we tone deaf? Are you kidding me? You know, there are certain things that you hear sometimes and you just want to cry when you hear it, because I have worked firsthand for years with women in crisis pregnancy. Women who have been assaulted by family members, by strangers. And I can't believe that our United States representatives would even consider something like this. And the only thing we can do, unfortunately, other than writing to our senators, calling our senators, which, by the way, has an incredible impact. You want to make your vote count? Are you frustrated about how things have happened, perhaps with elections over the last year? You can make your vote count so much more by calling your state representatives. Your call speaks volumes, because not that many people call and reach out. And so these are things in the coming days we are going to have to do more about, whether it's abortion, whether it's legalizing the date rape drug. I mean, we are doing things that are unconscionable. But as California goes, there goes the rest of the nation. So I don't know if this will be passed to the rest of the committees. I don't know if the governor will veto this or not. I don't have a lot of hope in the California State Governor Newsom. I'm just saying. But you need to make sure your daughters know. We need to make sure that young women know that a date rape drug that's already very dangerous is now something that someone can legally have in their possession if this continues to be passed through more committees. And we cannot continue to be silent as the fake, and I'm going to call it fake, the fake Me Too movement tries to save face by wearing certain colored dresses to various award-winning shows, when in reality, we've lived in a culture for too long that has given up too much for the sake of getting ahead. And this is something I've seen very common in California. I grew up in a community where pot smoking, generational pot smoking was a thing, and I saw as friends of mine started smoking pot, they started making excuses for other types of drugs. Cocaine, crystal meth, heroin were all drugs that were very common that good people started doing after they started with marijuana. And I bring this up because a lot of people are going to say, well, people are just using ketamine to treat their depression. Okay, but you lose consciousness. Do you know how many women engage in physical intimate activities that they don't want to engage in because of the pressure that women are in today to perform? And then add the legalization of having ketamine on you, people are going to start using this recreationally to ease discomfort in situations. So this won't just be date rape, but this is going to be, unfortunately, we're going to see legal cases over this where people are going to say, well, they consented, and they also not only consented to the interaction, but they also consented to taking this drug. And so I'm not kidding when I say perpetrators are going to be walking free over this. This is really scary. And what do especially women learn when people who harm them walk free, when men who harm them walk free? They believe that men aren't safe. They carry those wounds into potential marriages, into potential dating relationships. And so this is why I was waiting, do I talk about it today during our marriage hour? I think we do, because we don't take sexual assault seriously enough. And the laws that are being passed that are pushing this forward, from the legalization to marijuana to now the legalization potentially of ketamine in the state of California. And so make sure that you talk to your daughters. Make sure you talk to young women about this. Men, stand up. Let girls know. You know, sometimes I don't like to say that girls are naive, but sometimes we can be naive in certain situations. And it's important to talk about safety and being careful and being aware and cautious of what we consume and what people we're spending time with. People who might not think it's that big of a deal to have this in their possession. And then to potentially be under the influence as well. So let's talk about being smart. Let's not just stand here and be afraid of something like this, but let's be smart. You're listening to Trending with Tim Ray here on Relevant Radio. I want to come back talking about two other things that can significantly impact marriages, which is why we're talking about them, because we want hope and healing, just like we want hope and healing from any type of sexual assault. And remember, CatholicTherapist.com. There are incredible therapists across this nation with sound therapy. Therapy that isn't fringe or odd, but that is in cooperation with your faith and with healing and with prayer. I'll be right back here on Relevant Radio during our marriage hour. And if you'd like to join me, I'd like to pray with you if you're searching for a spouse. The number is 1-888-914-9149. We'll be right back. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio Line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forrester.
We're talking about what you're thinking about. You're listening to Trending with Timory on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
You're joining us during our weekly marriage hour here on Trending. It's great to be with you. Briefly, we'll touch on this issue because it's important. We'll talk about it more. I mentioned to you at the beginning of the year and last year what was to be expected in 2021 if we ended up having President Joe Biden and Kamala Harris as our president and vice president. I warned you, you may recall, that if they were here, we would see that they would make it so that the RU486 abortion pill would basically be accessible over the counter. Do you remember this? I told you this is what was going to happen. They were going to do everything they could to deregulate so that basically women would have unfettered access to abortion practically over the counter by going through a Zoom call and receiving it in the mail. It has been that RU486, you needed to take it in the presence of a type of physician. Now, we're seeing this deregulated so that people can basically do it at home, DIY abortion. Oh, the abortion pill is being expedited so that it's being pushed through the FDA for various approvals. And this is extremely disheartening. I worked inside the crisis pregnancy centers. I have worked with so many women who have gone through with having an RU486 chemical mifepristone abortion. And it is horrifying to be there and hear what their stories are. And so many women remain silent because they are horrified at what they did, what they saw, and what they went through. I'm talking about blood clots the size of baseballs past. I'm talking about bleeding for days and at times weeks and longer on end. I remember one woman I worked with laid in a bathtub full of blood as she waited for her baby to be passed. This is a horrific detail. And this is a heavy show today, the topics we are discussing. But these are why young men and women today don't want to get married. They are terrified of being hurt more. They are terrified of the entire idea of love because they don't believe in unconditional love because of the pain they've experienced from a culture that's pro-abortion, from a culture that legalizes date rape drug, as we're seeing in California, potentially. And so why is this DIY abortion pill happening? Why is the pro-abortion movement pushing for this so heavily? Well, Planned Parenthood spent over $45 million last year to buy politicians so that they would push forward deregulating the abortion pill so that more abortions would occur because it's less expensive to give a chemical abortion than it is a surgical abortion. But here's another reason why. Because pro-life sidewalk counselors are effective at saving lives in front of abortion clinics. It's also because more and more people are pro-life. They don't like the idea of these surgical abortions. They've learned a lot about it over the years, and fewer people want later abortions. They'd rather go through with what they believe is a easy, simple chemical abortion. But there's nothing easy about RU486 mifepristone. Even Planned Parenthood has reported, and these numbers are low because Planned Parenthood doesn't want people to know. More than 13%, so more than 1 out of 10% of chemical abortions result in an incompleted abortion, which ultimately can lead to serious infection and sepsis. Women are dying from RU486 abortions, but they're not labeling it as that. They're saying dying from infection, not dying from having taken an incompleted, unsafe RU486 chemical abortion. And I know some abortionists who are offering mifepristone, the RU486 abortion pill, for far longer than they're supposed to. Usually you're supposed to not offer it past 8 weeks. I know abortionists who have been offering it up to 16 weeks. Just to give you context, my baby girl was kicking, moving all around. I could feel her moving at this point. Not only that, we saw images of the full profile of her face that already looked incredibly feminine. How is it that we are allowing for women to be hurt by abortion when they can feel and see their baby in such phenomenal ways? Yet abortionists think that they can give women, when they're not supposed to be giving this chemical abortion, so late in a pregnancy. So here's the deal. What can you do? Tell the truth about the harms of RU486 abortion. You can even find pamphlets online about RU46 abortion, mifepristone, and the risks, and drop them off to your school youth group. Give them to the youth minister to pass out to their youth group. Drop them off at schools. Talk to your kids. Share information on social media. Watch the scene from the movie Unplanned telling the story of former abortion Planned Parenthood worker Abby Johnson, who went through with an RU46 abortion, and the story is told in Unplanned, the movie. Here's the bottom line, and it's something we can say over and over again: abortion pills hurt women. And the more we say it, the more people understand, and the more people who have been silent because of the pain they've experienced speak up. So often women think they have to be quiet about their abortion experience. But the more you say abortion hurts women, the more they will say, yes, it did, and here's what happened to me. You're listening to Trending with Tim Ray here on Relevant Radio. We're talking about things that threaten and impact marriage and relationships. We kicked off talking about how more people are going to be coupling up or participating in what's referred to as cuffing season, as Christina Pineda from Matchmakers in the City says. That's where people tend to find someone to date during the holidays and then uncuff after the holidays. Well, COVID's leading a lot of people to want to be in romantic relationships. People are lonely. Now, when people are lonely, they tend to make decisions they wouldn't otherwise make. And this is putting pressure on men and women when it comes to intimacy. And so here we are as Catholics. We have a special opportunity to talk about contraception, to share with people the impact that it has physically on their bodies, but also interpersonally on their relationships. When I was counseling women in the crisis pregnancy center, I didn't counsel a lot in the crisis pregnancy center. It was usually if I was sidewalk counseling. But in the crisis pregnancy center, I remember one time there was this woman who had been abortion-minded. She ended up having her baby, and she ended up getting married. And after that, she was incredibly pro-life. And I remember they asked if I would sit down and talk to her about natural family planning. I said, sure, why not? And so we sat down in the counseling room, and I didn't know very much about her. One of the counselors had been working with her and had helped to save her little baby. And I remember looking at her and saying, do you know anyone who uses contraception? And she said, yes. And she says it kind of coyly. And I said, well, I'm asking because I know you're about to get married, and there are decisions that people have to make about what they're going to do. I know you had a baby when you didn't really plan to, and you're a young couple. And a lot of people say just use contraception. And I went on to share with her some of the physical health impacts that contraception has on women. But after that, and we can talk about that another day here on Trending. But after that, I said, but there's more. I said, when we use contraception, it takes fundamental elements of the marital act away. It makes it so that the two people aren't completely united because there's an intellectual attitude that says, I'm not fully going to give myself to you. I'm holding something back. And I said, there's also this attitude that I'm not going to be willing to enter into having a new life with you. I'm not going to be willing to have a baby with you. And so I said, what happens is it tends to lead men and women to use each other in the marriage, even if it's a marriage, not even just in dating relationships, if they use contraception. And I looked at her and I said, does what I'm saying make any sense? She says, yeah. She said, my sister got married and she didn't use contraception for years. And then one day her husband decided that they needed to start using it. Well, from that day on, when they started using contraception, the attitude with regard to how they treated one another day to day completely changed. Their interpersonal dynamic led them to kind of just look at the other person as someone who just helped them out with things, and then led them to take advantage or take for granted the other person. She said, I actually do get that. I said, see, when we use contraception, it impacts the interpersonal dynamic between people because it prevents people from uniting on a intellectual level, on a level of what their intention is. I said, and it also prevents them from being open to life, and having babies is just a normal part of intimacy. I said, that really makes sense. And then I paused and I looked at her and I said, I had a guess. She's Hispanic in California. I said, are you Catholic? You know, do you believe in God? She said, yeah, I'm Catholic. And I was totally guessing here. And if she wasn't, I wasn't going to go any further with it. I was just going to kind of see where she took the conversation. And she said, I am. And I said, well, you know, the Catholic Church actually teaches that we're not supposed to use contraception. And then I went in to say, in adding a theological perspective about how the church teaches that every intimate act within the context of marriage, because that's what it's made for, is meant to be unitive and procreative. And I said, so what I explained to you, I said, notice I didn't bring theology into it. I didn't talk about God. And she said, yeah, I didn't notice that. I said, well, this is what the church teaches. But you see, it makes sense on a very human level. Although we don't have to talk about God, God had a plan for what's supposed to happen within marriage. And he has a plan for how we're meant to interact with one another for us to have the best possible relationship. And she came out of that conversation so joyful and so equipped with understanding why she didn't want to use contraception. And I think this is where we have the opportunity, even if someone doesn't hold to a religious view, share why intimacy is meant to be unitive and procreative. Don't start with the theology, but bring the theology in to back it up. I'll be back tomorrow here on Relevant Radio, and we'll be asking the question, do you have to be willing to be martyred to be a Christian?